inside of you. And it's not just the words out of his mouth. It's also what's in his heart as well that just comes out. And so we just bless our man of God, George Parrott. He's the head of CMM. He'll tell you what that's all about. And we're so honored to have you here. Can we just give him a warm welcome right now in Jesus' name? Amen.
Thank you, Pastor John. Thank you, Mary Ann, and all our dear new friends here. We're so excited and so thankful to be here with you. And just 20-some years ago, we lived in Roanoke, not too far up the road, for 14 years up there. Wow. And during that time, the Lord really blessed us, blessed our family. We've been married, my dear Anna Marie and I, for 45 years, almost 46. And we have 3 grown sons and 2 grandchildren so far. We're praying for a dozen more. And it's just been such a blessed time. We've had a great time here this weekend and just love the heart of God overflowing in this place. And CMM, so you know, the ministry that we serve with is Christ's Mandate for Missions. They started in Charlotte in 1978, and then in the late 90s, in 1998, the Correll family asked me to go speak in a Bible school graduation in the Northern Philippines. That was my first mission trip, and it just changed my life. And then after a few months, they asked me to go to Guatemala, and they said while I was on that second trip that the Lord spoke to them. There was a great doctor, a good friend of ours, who was the heir apparent to take over the ministry. And Helen Correll, the wife of the founder, and Michael Correll, their son, who was a friend of mine, said the Lord spoke to them that I was to be the one. I said, well, who am I? You know, I haven't been to Bible school, not ordained. I've taught Sunday school and adult school a little bit, but had a heart for the nations. And so I went on those first few trips, and it was just life-changing. It was hard to come back and focus on business. So it's been a wild ride, and I had no idea all the Lord was going to do and how the world has changed in the last 25 years. But yesterday, as I was sharing, the Holy Spirit was showing me about this place of the labors of your prayers, of your faithfulness that have been sown into Wellspring Fellowship and the work of all of you here together. This place really is a Goshen. You know, I'm blessed to go to many nations around the world. And the last 10 years, we've just heard continually revelation, whispers of the Holy Spirit, of these sweet fellowships in isolated areas. And what we do is try to connect and strengthen and encourage people with ministry service of prophetic teams. Amanda Davis serves on prophetic teams with CMM. So we have 5 teams each week that minister to the Lord. Amanda and her team do a lot in Kazakhstan and Russian-speaking countries. And there's such hunger for the Lord. The Holy Spirit is moving around the world in hearts. Many people are isolated in their outpost, but they're on strategic assignments from the Lord to do what he calls them to do. And the Lord has a huge plan, a huge destiny for Wellspring Fellowship. It's just so peaceful up here. The presence of God is powerful in this place because it's made up of you and you and you and all the members and the friends and the families that pray. And regardless of the numbers, it's the depth of your heart. Amen. And I'll just share briefly the message the Lord gave me today for here is being versus doing. The Lord is more interested in our being with him than our doing. You know, we all have responsibilities. We have families. We have jobs. We have activities that we do. And it takes extra intentional effort to be able to get up early or to stay up late to spend time with the Lord or to take times throughout the day as circumstances permit for us to get away with God and to be with him. You know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was crucified and buried and resurrected, he was praying and he asked his disciples, "Can you not stay with me for 1 hour?"
Wow.
He wants that intimate depth of relationship. You know, when we read several times in the New Testament about on that day of judgment, and people will say, "Oh, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we heal the sick?" And Jesus says, "Depart from me. I never knew you." That's some serious words. And Lord, we long, each one of us, to hear you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your rest." I want to share Colossians 3:15. "And let the peace," and this is from the Amplified Classic Version, "soul harmony which comes from Christ rule, act as umpire continually." That peace is an umpire in the conflicts of life, in the frictions of the biblical, historical battle of good versus evil, of right versus wrong, life versus death. It is a continual challenge. And that peace of God is an umpire. You know, Jesus said that he said, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." Look at the conflicts surrounding Jerusalem for millennia until the end of the age. There's going to be battles. So pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Jesus said, "I have to go to the Father so that I can send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counsel, source of wisdom, of direction, of peace."
Yes.
And I was mentioned to Liz yesterday, you know, we read and we hear a lot, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." That's important. And Jesus said, I go to return to heaven so that I can send the Comforter.
Amen.
And why is it the Holy Spirit's our Comforter that he often makes us feel uncomfortable?
Right.
There's a lot of paradoxes in the Bible, you know, from Calvinism and predestination to free will and choice. But in heaven's realm, they both can exist. God foreordained before the foundation of the world and wrote in his book all the days of your life. But yet we still have free will. But he knows the choices that we're going to make in advance. He knows the end from the beginning. So he's so much higher, so much bigger. And Lord, we just give you all the glory and praise. So that peace of God through Christ rules in us, in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state, to which as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live.
Amen.
And to be thankful, appreciative, giving praises to God as always.
Amen.
Things are changing fast, probably faster than any of us realize. And it's just like a roller coaster of like, wow, who would have ever thought that anti-Semitism after and before World War II would surpass that?
Wow.
It's like, right. Lord, what's happening? How give me your grasp. But he gives us his peace through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To stay in that. We need to cling to his peace and put it before him on every decision, every matter. Some of you are reviewing a contract right now, and you need to read the fine print and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what is happening so that you make a Holy Spirit-led decision or choice. And we have that continually. And so in the days ahead, I was seeing yesterday these hills, the road, the driveway, just full of people looking for hope, looking for answers. And so you are leaders, you are champions, you are pillars of light and hope being trained up. Jesus picked 12 ragtag disciples. You know, years ago, I mean, I did everything wrong.
Didn't we all?
And God saved me by his grace, and he saved our family, saved our family. Times we thought we were going to be, even in Roanoke, that we were going to be homeless. I would lay in my bed and weep at night. Oh God, we have three young children. What are we going to do? What are we? And he showed me and he hooked me up with people, with places, with jobs, and prospered us as we grow.
Amen.
I remember one house we bought in 1989. We were supposed to close on New Year's Eve. And we had lived in New England. I come from Illinois. My wife comes from Boston. We had lived in Maine for 10 years and moved south to Roanoke. And we were in a little tiny house. And we needed needed a bigger house. So we put a contract on a house where the owner was going to finance it. We had no money, no credit. Wow. And we were going to close on December 31st. And there was a cold weather forecast coming in. So I called the real estate agent and I said, we lived in New England. It's going to be bitter cold tonight. There was no utilities on at the house. And I said, you need to either turn the water faucets on to a trickle to keep the pipes from freezing, or turn the heat on, or get the electricity on and put some heaters or propane heaters in there just to protect the pipes. Oh no, it never happens around here. It'll be okay.
Oh,
so we get up in the morning.
Oh, no.
And the real estate agent calls and says, we're going to have to postpone the closing.
And
then it's like the, you know, you get those lightning flashes of revelation from the Lord. And it, like when there's crisis, one of the Chinese definitions of crisis is opportunity.
Wow.
And I asked Lord, and we needed 3,000 down, which we didn't have. We were going by faith from night to morning.
Wow.
Lord, what do we do? We don't have $3,000. We need a place to move. And I said to the agent, let me go take a look at it and see how bad the damage was. And it was a brick ranch house and had a finished basement with carpet and wood paneling on the walls. And there were three bedrooms down there. And we went down to the basement and the floor was soaked. And we thought there'd be mold issues. Have to take out the carpet, change the paneling because the water was up a few inches on the walls. And I prayed and the Lord said, go for it. And so I called the agent back and said, hey, here's what I offer as a counter offer, is we'll go ahead and have the closing today and we'll take the house as is and we'll be responsible for all the repairs. So that took care of the 3,000 that we didn't have. And we go in there and fix it up and they had already put some fans in to dry it out and dehumidifiers. And so we let that process continue. So we never did have to change the carpet. It was fine. Deodorize it and clean it. God is good. And so we were paying the man who worked for the railroad monthly payments. And we had on our checks then, because we were getting more on fire for the Lord at that time. So we had scriptures on every check. And he would get these checks and he'd come over one time and he said, don't send me those checks with scriptures on them. I don't want to hear it. I said, well, we're here because of the Lord Jesus. He made a way where we thought there was no way. And and we continued. I said, those are the only checks we have. You know, it had different scripture on each check or each pad of checks. And he kept getting. And we didn't see him for like a year or two. And then he came over one day and we could see him out front. I go, oh, Mr. O's here. And Lord, help us, protect us. He's going to yell at me some more and do something. What have I done? I haven't done anything that I know of. And he comes up the sidewalk and meet him in the yard. He said, I want you to know. And he had been on disability and he had real sickness. He'd retired from the railroad. And he said, I want you to know that your scriptures on that check touched my heart month after month. And I've given my heart to Jesus.
Amen.
So it's like those little things. There's no little things in God's eyes. He knows the hairs on our head. He knew before the world was formed that you'd each be here today. It's like, wow, he's full of majesty, full of wonder, and he just keeps us in wonder and awe. And soon after, you know, we were so happy. We prayed with Mr. O, and just a few weeks, maybe 6 weeks or less, he died in a car wreck. Said he had a heart attack and hit a tree and died.
Wow.
But it's like, we don't know this, you know, we're just sowing the seeds continually. Sowing the seeds of the gospel, and people need it. John had asked me, and I shared it with Anna, and Anna's observations of plagues or hindrances in this region, some of them are true nationwide and in the Western church, but what we saw around here, and we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but right. spiritual, for the pulling down of strongholds.
Right.
And as pillars, I salute you as pillars of faith. And you may think, oh, who am I? I'm nobody. But because of Jesus, I'm a son of God, yeah. and so are you. And we are his bride, and he's preparing his bride through the yeah. trials of life, through the ups and yeah. downs, through the yeah. joys and the despair and the joys. It's like we're getting closer. And your testimonies need to be shared.
Amen.
And so I speak to the testimonies that come in that are of healing.
Amen. Yes.
You know, and Sister Heidi, we just pray. And yes. and I've been blessed. We've seen people healed from stage 4 cancer, all types of cancer, leukemia, yes. alcoholism, yes. cirrhosis of the liver, all types of blind people healed, even yes. on Zoom and Skype. Before we were using Zoom, we were using Skype. And then we've seen it many times in many countries.
Yes.
You know, Ronnie and the worship team were singing the song about Jesus.
Yes.
And I whispered to Anna, it reminded me of the first trip to India. John Kepley was with
John
me.
John Kepley, yes.
And another friend of ours, John Flowers, were there. And I had to like twist their arm. I hadn't been to India. They hadn't been to India before. John Kepley says, what are we going to be doing there? I said, I don't know. I hadn't been. I said, we're going to go there to encourage the missionaries that the CMM family had supported for decades. And it was up near the Nepal border. And at that time, North India was harder, more yeah. persecution. But now India needs prayers for persecution yeah. all over. But we went up to that area, and they have a hospital and a school that has 400 or 500 students in it, and a little church. And we discerned a lot of things on that first trip. God breaks through, even overcoming the Jezebel spirit within the family. We faced all kinds of warfare. There was a mosque right over the wall of the compound with these little tinny speakers and the call to prayer 5 times a day. There was witchcraft around. Idol worship. It was near the birthplace of Buddha and near the death place of Muhammad III. Just heavy warfare, so strong. And in fact, the second night we were there, John Kepley and a friend, John Flowers, came to wake me up. We don't know if we can stay here. We're going to die.
Wow.
And I said, well, we're only here a few more days. You guys can go if you want, but I feel I need to stay. And it had just been warfare.
Wow.
Warfare.
Can you explain the Jezebel spirit? I just want to make sure everybody understands what that is.
Yes. Okay. The Jezebel spirit can be very, it is very deceptive. It's very prevalent. It's big time in Washington, D.C. and our country and probably Richmond and most state capitals, even some local governments. But it's like Jezebel in the Old Testament was against the prophets of God and was doing everything to kill and assassinate
right.
the prophets of God in yeah. Israel. And Elijah, there's a beautiful story about Elijah confronting Jezebel and overcoming Jezebel. But Elijah, during that battle that he was facing with her, was running from her, hiding from her. And he said, oh God, where are you? Where are the prophets of God? And God said, you're not the only one. There's 7,000 more prophets in Israel. And so Jezebel often works in league with the spirit of Baal worshipers. And so on Mount Carmel in northern Israel near Haifa, we've been there several times.
Wow.
He challenged the false prophets of Baal to a match, basically, and said, if your God is God, we'll worship him. And if my God is God, you'll worship him. So he put a sacrifice on the altar, and he said, okay, your turn, prophets of Baal. And they prayed and did their incantations all day long, and nothing happened. And some people say, well, we need to avoid presumption. We do, but Elijah was not presumptive.
Amen.
When he said, God, you are God of all Israel, of all creation. And he said, even put four more barrels of water on the sacrifice. And then the fire came down from heaven and burned up the sacrifice. And Elijah killed 450 prophets. And then he went after Jezebel. And so it's like a control spirit.
Yes.
It's really an anti-Christ spirit. There are many that challenge the authority and the sovereignty of the true God. And so this Jezebel spirit was in this compound, even in the missionary family.
Wow.
For decades. And John was there and he was helped to discern and uncover it and to address it and confront it. And we would be having services and just be led by the Holy Spirit. And one of the sons would be pointing his watch and he'd call us to the side and said, well, the people have to go home to work the next day. They have to catch buses. And so it's like, from a practical side, but then we kept sensing, it was like he didn't want these people who were hungry for God to encounter God.
Right.
It's like, just do the standard type service. Two or three praise and worship songs, take up the offering, preach a sermon, keep everybody under control.
Wow.
No freedom in the spirit permitted.
Wow.
And we know that in John, it says that the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so we want to stay in the Spirit. We are spirit beings. We come from a place of victory, of the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we come to earth to be able to be equipped, to grow, to be trained for reigning with the Lord in eternity. And so every challenge that we face, it's an opportunity to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this trial, from this heartache, from this warfare? How could I grow in faith and stature and to be able to overcome? And we overcome the world by faith.
Amen.
And faith is often misunderstood, but as we mentioned yesterday, without risk, there's no room for faith to work. Hudson Taylor was a great missionary to China. So I want to encourage you with Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. You means you. His glory will shine upon you. As things get darker, the glory of the Lord shines brighter in each of you. So just receive it. It's time, I often tell myself, get over myself.
Exactly.
Self, you and me got to have a talking to. You're not in charge. Your life is not your own. You know, as new creations in Christ Jesus, we're to rise up, to be bold like lions. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. So right now, I just want to decree and declare restoration in family relationships. There are some that have gone away, some that are prodigals. I was a prodigal, and the Lord spared me. We have one son who won't speak to us because of who we voted for in 2020 and because we didn't get the vaccine. You know, that's a personal choice decision between you and the Lord. And if you have it, he protects us. But I believe and know that we have the most powerful vaccine in the world. That's the blood of Jesus. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Then you shall see and become radiant. You shall see and become radiant. And your heart shall swell with joy. The Lord spoke to me a month or 6 weeks ago and said, I was born for joy.
Amen.
You know, and that reminds me of Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of the Father. And one of the words the Lord gave me for this year, 2024, was he's expanding our capacity of understanding the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ.
Amen.
You know, when Lazarus was in the tomb, he wept. That's the shortest sentence in the Bible. Jesus wept.
Amen.
But he was resurrected, and we walk and we live in that resurrected life.
Amen.
I've died three times, and the Lord raised me up each time.
Wow.
It's by his grace. We're each only here by his grace, by his favor. I encourage you to watch the videos from Friday night.
Amen.
With David Harwood speaking. A lot of wisdom, a very anointed message, and very down-to-earth practical questions that you can ask of the Lord to draw you closer. I mean, his love is radiant, but his love is like a magnet that draws you in. He won't let you get away. So just quit trying to hide. You can't outrun him. He'll find you. Like he was after Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. He goes, Adam, where are you? He knows. But he wanted to hear what Adam was
saying. Right.
And what did Adam do? That woman gave me. But he was guilty as well. First John 5:13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. I had a dream many years ago. David's dream is really significant that he shared, and I do believe it is for this church and for others too. And it's amazing how the Lord can speak like in parables.
Yes.
Different levels. It's like you could be very mature, or you could be a child, or you could be a child with Down syndrome, for example. And it's like the Lord's love comes through so that everyone can receive something at whatever level of understanding or maturity that they may be at. His love permeates every level of understanding. But, you know, it's your hunger that invites his presence. How
Amen.
Hungry are you for him? And 1 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. How many churches have been split? I think there's been some of that around here in the past, of where people just like, oh, let's just have normal church. We'll play church. We'll pretend to be Christians. We'll pretend that we believe. And it's like, Lord, have mercy on them. Lord, and help us to maintain the lines of communication, to keep the dialogue open and ongoing, and give us the discernment and the wisdom and the love to reach them, to reach their hearts. Because Jesus, we know, has the key to unlock the hardest of heart. And he only did and said what the Father did and said. And then we have a better covenant today, like John shared this morning. we shared yesterday, John 14:12, that even greater works than these shall you do. And we're moving to that time. We can fully expect, anticipate, hope for, rely on, trust that his word is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's what will save our lives in the days Amen. Ahead and the lives of those around us Amen. And the lives that will be coming up the hill. They'll be coming up the mountain of the
That's
Lord
right.
so he can teach them his ways.
Amen.
And he's going to use you. So I just release all the fivefold ministry gifts now.
Yes.
The pastor, the prophet, the apostle, the teacher,
yes.
the evangelist,
yes.
all are needed to prepare the church, as we read in Ephesians 4:11. And I love what it says in 13, until we all come to the full stature
That's
of Christ.
Right. That's right.
So we're in the making, we're in the preparatory stages. He's
yes.
shaping us, molding us,
yes.
putting us back on the potter's wheel to mold us. And it's important for us to stay humble, to know that he's God, we're not.
Amen.
And that's a blessing that I'm not God, because we'd all be toast.
Yeah, right.
He's
yes.
God.
Amen.
He alone is God. He's yeah. worthy. Far above all principalities and powers. And we're seated with him in those places
yes.
on his throne
yes.
in heaven, in the third heaven, in eternity. And it's like, wow, we're there now and we're here now. But our job, our calling is to bring what's there in eternity in the heavenly realm of truth
yes.
and holiness and purity, to bring that to
Praise
earth.
God.
So he's more interested in our being than our doing. And it reminds me of Peter and Paul in the book of Acts, you know, that a shadow or a handkerchief could heal. Lord,
right.
download in each of us, Lord, we just stand up now.
Amen.
I don't know if we were going to bring the children in.
Yeah,
or
let me go
late?
Ahead. Yeah, whenever you're ready, I'll get them.
Sure.
Okay.
Father God, just download
yes,
on us
Lord.
Your presence,
yes,
your
yes.
supernatural being.
Yes.
In us, Lord, that that people would see the glory shining on us, radiating through us, Lord. And they'd say, what is it about you? You're different. What sets you apart? Why are you that way? How can you smile when the world's such a mess? But be a genuine smile, not a fake smile. He wants authenticity, and people can smell a rat a mile away, particularly the younger generation. They are turned off to hypocrisy. And he desires for us to be one as he is one. That out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And as we align ourselves in the frequency of heaven, there's a vibration or a resonancy or a harmonic melody that comes through us and even out our hands in what we do for work and everything, every vocation, every ministry activity, every job. You could be a hairdresser or a lawyer or a construction foreman or a worker or a ditch digger or a street sweeper. Everything is worship unto the Lord. And so we love that Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And modern man makes things too complicated sometimes. And just like these children, Jesus said that unless we have the faith like a child, we will not see the kingdom of heaven. So rejoice and be glad in that childlike faith. My wife has something.
You can be seated.